name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The disciples had been traveling with Jesus for a long time, and they knew him and his teachings well. And they knew that Jesus had a lot to say about forgiveness, that for him, forgiveness was a big deal. And so Peter remembered that the rabbis said you should forgive someone three times. Kind of like baseball, you know, after that, you can't, it's over. But because he knew, Peter knew that Jesus was a stickler or had a thing about forgiveness, he doubled it to six and then added one. So he said, if my fellow church member sins against me, should I forgive seven times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times seven. That's 490. That's a lot of forgiveness. And chances are that if you tried to keep track, you would forget, lose track, and say, what the heck? But this is a difficult thing for us, this question of forgiveness. Because you see, we have, quite naturally, a thing about justice. And so if you let somebody off the hook too easily, that doesn't seem to be right. The equation doesn't seem to balance. Now, remember that we live in two realms. We live in the realm of this world, and so we, that's pretty much kind of all we know until we discover that there's a kingdom of God and a realm, a spiritual realm, that is not always the same as this world. But we come into this world not knowing anything. All we know is this world, and then we have a short time here. Nowadays, you read often about someone reaching the age of 100. But that doesn't happen all the time, and even if someone reaches more than that, it's still a very short time. And the death rate is still 100%. And so, we're here for a short time. And while we're here in this world, we can live with the rules and regulations, the order of this world. And in this world, parents know that they have to teach their children what's right and what's wrong. Schools need to enforce the rules. You need to do your homework, you need to study. And then going on from there in the larger world, in business, there are certain things you have to do, and there are certain crimes that if you commit them, you will be punished and should be. And so you can't just kind of throw mercy at many of these issues. But then there is this other world. There is the heavenly world. And that is the kingdom of God. Jesus talks a lot about the kingdom of God. And so we have a dual citizenship. We're citizens of this world during the time when we are in this world. And then we have been promised by Jesus that after this life, we will be with him and we will be in perhaps maybe a mansion or maybe a nice place. But wherever it is, it will be God's kingdom. So we have to live in these two worlds. And balancing them is not easy. Sometimes you have to really struggle with your conscience and struggle with how you feel. But let me say this. In the realm of the kingdom of God, forgiveness really is a great thing. There is incredible power in forgiveness. For one thing, when we don't forgive, we remember all the offenses that we've had from our brothers and sisters or elsewhere, we'll be resentful. And that resentfulness is like a little seed of poison that can then grow. and it can become something very ugly. You know people who are just angry at life. They're just unhappy in this world. They want everybody else to do something, but they're stuck. So number one, if we forgive, then we get freed. And the other person also gets freed from guilt and from the feeling that they shame, that they have been caused God pain. Now, to show you the nature of forgiveness, let me talk to you about a book that I read about. And it's about a man named Robert Leon Davis. Robert was born in New Orleans, a black man in a rough neighborhood. And in his life, there were two influences. There was the neighborhood, which involved some crime and roughness, other bad things. And then there was his family. His mother was present, but his grandmother was really the most important force in his life. She was a godly woman. She prayed, and she taught him to do what was right. Without going into too many details, when Robert was 21, he became a New Orleans police officer. Now, he saw some things that were wrong, that policemen were doing, and he prepared a report and submitted it. And his supervisor called him in and said, if you go through with this, if you insist on sending it forward, you're going to be ostracized. Nobody's going to want to ride with you. Nobody's going to want to have anything to do with you. So he consented, and the report was thrown away. But over the years, there was a lot of corruption in the police department in the 1970s in New Orleans. And gradually, Robert got into crime. He committed crimes as a policeman. I won't go into all the details, but it was not good. It was not right. It was very wrong. In 1979, he was convicted of those crimes, and he was sentenced to 30 years in prison. They wanted to make an example of him. And he had heard through other various sources that in prison, a police officer was a target. And he heard of things that had happened to police officers. And so he had been sentenced, but he had not been brought in. So he had a few days when he wasn't, was waiting. And he ran away. He fled. Now, he had an amazing life. He went to Canada and lived in the woods of Ontario for 2 years. He learned all those survival tactics. Somehow or another, he made it. And then eventually he went to Chicago. And in Chicago, he continued his life of crime. Now, during this period, he became an atheist. First, he was an atheist with a small a, but over time, he became an atheist with a capital A, a big atheist. He hated everything having to do with God, the church, the Bible, anything. He said it was just terrible, and he alienated many people. In his life of crime in Chicago and in other places, he was a car thief. He stole cars. He was an enforcer for the Crips gang, doing who knows what, and continued. Then at some point he lived in the woods near Asheville. He lived in the mountains there, but he said that wasn't good because they had these fire stations, the lookout, fire lookout people, and if you built a fire, they'd see it and they'd come. So he left there. Now, it's at that point that God decides that he, as he put it, he said, God decided that he was going to reel me in, that he was going to step on the gas and get to me. So he had several people who had helped him along the way who were Christians. One was a priest, Roman Catholic priest, who had helped him and mentored him and so on, and he ended up stealing from the priest. He somehow managed to crack the church safe and took all the money. He also had another friend that he knew in the woods named Lee. But Lee, the longer he stayed in the woods, the more Christian he became. And so Robert just left him and never heard from him again. But then as God started working, he did some amazing things. First, he did some tests. In other words, because he'd heard of God and he'd heard things about him, Robert tried testing him. He did these little things. And again, the tests showed that someone was listening. Then he began to have a series of dreams. And in the dreams, he was haunted by many of the things that he had done. And then finally, he had a big, awesome dream. And in that dream, he saw his grandmother kneeling before God, praying that God would spare Robert and take her ultimately to hell. And that shattered Robert, because he loved his grandmother and he knew that she was a godly woman. And then Robert then turned. He took hitched a freight train to New Orleans. He contacted the only sister that he could find, and he reunited with his family. He met his 22-year-old son, as well as his brothers and sisters and their families. Then Robert was ready to turn himself in. He went to the police station, turned himself in, and he fully expected to go to prison for 30 years. And his lawyer, was counseling him, don't say anything about the crimes that you committed apart from the ones that you'd been convicted of, and he didn't care. He said, I'm gonna just tell it as it is, I'll tell it all. And so on. So now, miraculously, the judge, first of all, the judge that was supposed to hear the case was the same judge who had sentenced him 22 years earlier to 30 years. But on the day he was to go in and be sentenced, the judge was sick. And so a young female judge was on the bench. And she asked him a lot of questions. And after she asked all these questions and so on, the DA said, 30 years, that's it, we need to make him an example. She sentenced him to 30 years and then suspended the sentence. He couldn't believe it. He didn't know what happened. He was a free man. God forgave him, and the state forgave him. Since then, he has been an amazing example for hundreds and hundreds of people. He mentors young men on behalf of the New Orleans Police Department. He speaks and preaches in places, encouraging people, young people, to do what's right and to turn to God. And he eventually wrote a book. The book is named Fleeing God and Running from God. So here's what you need to know about forgiveness. In the realm of this world, you have to deal with rules and regulations. You have to do all that stuff. But in the kingdom of God, there are occasions when you need to forgive someone. It may be your brother or sister. It may be someone from work. It may be someone from school. It may be someone from your community, where God puts it on your heart that you are supposed to forgive this person. And when you do that, God's grace comes to you and to the other person. And it is a wonderful and glorious thing. And so this morning with Peter, we ask Jesus, what about this forgiveness? And Jesus says 70 times 7. So we have to then take that and integrate that into our lives. It's difficult. It's complicated. But it's what God calls us to do. Let us pray, therefore, that we will be able to, when God calls us, we will be able to forgive 70 times 7, that the kingdom of God may come and invade this earth and our lives.